Welcome to the Iris Kelly Summit. I'm Yolila Espinoza, an Eco Arrows weaver and your host for the Iris Journey. I would love to hear your comments about the talks on the Iris Facebook page at facebook.com/irisinitiation. Also to let you know that the Iris package that includes the recordings of all the talks and other bonuses is available for purchase on the sexualinitiation.com website. Also on the website, if you go to the online course tab, you'll see that I'm offering a 9-month online course on initiation, which involves one call per month with 3 private sessions with me. Please go to the website for more information. We are blessed to have Deborah Annapol with us here today. Deborah is an explorer of the spaces where sex, spirit, sustainability, love, and ecology meet. She has a PhD in clinical psychology and is the author of Polyamory in the 21st Century and the 7 Natural Laws of Love, as well as the producer of the video Pelvic Heart Integration. For 25 years, Dr. Annapol has worked with groups, partners, and individuals and leads workshops internationally and is an inspiring speaker. Welcome, Deborah. Deborah, thank you so much for making time to be with us today. And I'm wondering if we can jump right into the heart of the exploration and ask you how you were personally initiated as a sexual being.
Okay, yeah, I'd love to jump right in. And yeah, I realize when I hear that question that my sexual initiation, plural, initiations, there have been many of them. And I realize that this is an aspect of both sexuality and initiation that is overlooked a lot of the time. And we think about sexual initiation, usually we think about puberty, either a first sexual experience, since in this culture we don't actually do sexual initiations. In fact, they're probably illegal if you're under 21, and maybe even after that. But not only do initiations continue beyond puberty, but they continue every time, really, we enter a new phase of the life cycle. So I've had a long life with many sexual experiences. I'm not going to attempt to convey all of my sexual initiations. And in answer to your question, I think that you're in that question, you're probably asking about the early kind of initiation. And I was recently at a conference in Europe where a woman who lives in a intentional community was talking about the sexual initiations that they're starting to develop as part of their community. And I realized when I heard her talking about that an experience I had as a 13-year-old, well, 14-year-old, was very similar to what she was describing. And I hadn't thought of that as an initiation prior to hearing her speak, but I found that, you know, this was a pivotal experience for me. And the way it came about was that when I was 13, the Beatles were doing their first concert in the United States at Shea Stadium. And somehow I got my parents to give me permission to take the train from Northwestern Connecticut, where we were living, down to New York City, where I met up with a friend of mine, and we went to this Beatles concert. Now, that was not the initiation, though, but that's the reason I was riding on a train by myself. And on that train ride, I met a young soldier. He didn't seem young to me, being 13, but I think he was probably 21, something like that. And we struck up a conversation and, yeah, stayed in touch. In those days, there was no internet, so, yeah, through the mail. And about a year later, he was traveling through my town and wanted to come see me. And again, somehow my parents, because I think he was a soldier, decided it would be okay for me to go out with him for the evening. And what that evening turned out to be was really the most beautiful and amazing sexual initiation. We did not have intercourse. He didn't attempt that. But what he did was to very beautifully introduce me to the erotic pleasure that was possible through stimulation of my yoni, which I hadn't really had a clue about up until then. And as I look back on it, what an incredible gift this was. And mm-hmm. At the time, I remember that, yeah, it wasn't a romantic thing, and it wasn't a, he was giving to me. He was not trying to, you know, get sexual pleasure from me, except perhaps vicariously, through the pleasure of giving. And totally awakened my physical body. So what an amazing experience that was. A few years later, when I was 17, I had another, not really puberty, but another initiation. By this time, I was no longer a virgin. I had not a huge amount, but a bit of sexual experience when I was invited by, again, a man who had been in the military. And I've been thinking about this, and it's really kind of blowing my mind that I had really so much early sex education through young, in this case, a sailor who... he was no longer in the Navy, but had been stationed in California. Again, I was still living on the East Coast and had been exposed to some tantric sex practices. And so we took LSD, and I discovered in our interaction, not really with a lot of talking about it, but experientially, I discovered that not only did I have a physical body, but I had an energy body, and he had an energy body, and that somehow I knew how to open and connect the chakras and move sexual energy through the chakras. And this was I had no clue about this until it happened. It was a major initiation for me, which I think set me on the path that I've been on ever since of tantric exploration. I'm not sure I even knew the word tantra at that point. But the ability to feel the energy body and connect that with the physical body, and to realize that in orgasm there was a complete loss of control and identity, actually, was a major opening for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Beautiful stories that you're sharing. I love it. There are so many themes that you're speaking of in terms of the energy body and your experience with LSD. see, and I'm curious throughout your life, have you had more experiences with psychedelics or entheogens is another term to assist in learning about energy?
Well, I stopped using all entheogens, as you call them, some years ago, but that there was a long period of time in which I did use a variety of substances in a ritual way, and sometimes to explore sexuality, but most of the time not. Most of the time I was exploring other territory. And I think that these both sex and substances can be used, as Aldous Huxley said, to open the doors of perception, which is really kind of what an initiation is. But I realized that if I wanted to take up permanent residence in these altered states, that I would have to find another way of doing it, that wasn't possible to sustain these. They were experiences, meaning states, not lasting, abiding way of existing, which I decided was really what I wanted. So these substances are good for creating a glimpse into another reality. And then you're kind of left to do the hard work of how do I maintain this.
Yeah, so two questions arise. The first, you touched on what initiation is and opening the doors of perception. Can you speak more about how you see initiation playing a role in the lives of the individuals and communities?
Well, in general, there's a big misunderstanding on the part of many people about initiation, in that it is literally that it marks the beginning, or maybe the ending, or some other significant point in a process. So in order for an initiation to have a real and lasting impact, for it to be transformational, requires both preparation and ongoing work. So in our culture, we don't have many initiations left, particularly sexual initiations, but even spiritual initiations. And so because we don't have much experience with them, we have this idea that the initiation itself is the thing. And I would say it's more of a gateway, and that while these initiations are very important to let us know that we're entering a new phase, whether it's a phase of spiritual development or a stage of sexual evolution, or whether it's more of a rite of passage based on age, we need to understand that it's up to us to really transform. The old has to die. And so some of the very graphic images that we have of initiation from indigenous cultures are literally based on some kind of experience of death or near death. And because we don't have this formalized in our culture, I think people are left a lot of the time to stumble upon these states through an accidental death or near death. And whether it's literally a near death of the body or whether it's more of an ego death, often there's little guidance, support, or understanding for what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And along that theme, I'm wondering what you're witnessing in the communities that you're connected with in terms of the challenges that people are experiencing around initiation and their sexual evolution.
Oh, well, this is a great question, and I might have to talk all day to really address all the aspects of what I've seen, because I've been working in the field of sacred sexuality, or embodied spirituality, as I prefer to call it, for at least 30 years now. So I've seen everything from, I would say, the challenge of disappointment when nothing much happens, because as I said before, people think somehow, they can take a pill or experience a ritual and that this is going to result in permanent transformation. And usually it doesn't. Occasionally it might, but usually it doesn't. It's more often some kind of symbolic or a taste of another reality. So disappointment is at the one end of the spectrum. And at the other end is people get more than they bargained for, that they have an experience, maybe a tantric experience that triggers what we've come to call a spiritual emergence, where the ego, the personality, actually does die, where there's so much expansion in the nervous system, so much awakened kundalini when the nervous system is not prepared to handle it, that people get completely overwhelmed and disoriented, and sometimes takes them days, weeks, months to just become functional again. So those are the two extremes of what I see as the pitfalls, and then everything else falls in between those two extremes. But in general, my motto is, it's always better to volunteer. That is, it's always better to consciously prepare for and ask for and find a qualified guide to an initiation experience rather than stumbling upon it.
That's a great point, Deborah. Yes. And, when people are exploring then how to choose, how do you guide people in choosing what would be an appropriate initiation for themselves?
Well, this is very individual, and it depends a lot on what stage of life you're in. And also, really, how willing you are to die to the old self. What I'm particularly interested in at this time, and because of my stage of life, I'm 62, and I have, in terms of my sexuality, I've seen my sexuality be reinvented, not only in puberty, going from basically lack of awareness or experience to awakening, but have also been through the initiation, the sexual initiation of becoming a mother, and then more recently becoming what I like to call a crone. That is an elder whose physiology, whose hormones are not functioning the same way they do in a younger person. And so if we try to hold on to the sexuality of youth, of adolescence, or even middle adulthood, and we're actually
in our elder years, our hormone levels are going down, and our sexual experience is not the same. And very few people realize this, let alone have discovered ways to initiate a mature sexual being in themselves. And so this is what's really interesting me at the time. And what I found is that the common thread here is to learn to come to the initiation or to the sexual experience from a place of innocence, as if it is the very first time you've ever had this experience.
Mm-hmm.
And the tendency is for us to, after we've done something a few times, we think we know it all, and our mind has a map and a vision and an idea about how it's going to feel and what's going to happen and what's a good experience and what's a bad experience and what we like and what we don't like. And all of these things really take us out of the present moment. And so to be initiated into a new phase of life, sexually or any other way, actually, we need to let go of all of our ideas and learn to be present to the experience we're having that moment. And if we can do that, actually every experience is an initiation. Every experience is the beginning of something new. And if we do this as an ongoing practice, we actually are initiating ourselves into a completely different way of being.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, beautifully said. Yes, and so in this initiation into a new way of being, what do you envision as our optimal sexual, spiritual, erotic state of being? What would that look like for people?
Well, it's not going to look exactly the same for everyone, and in fact, it's always a mystery, but there are certain aspects that seem to me to be core, and one of them is the integration of the spiritual and the sexual. That is the energetic experience of sexuality and the physical experience. And in our dualistic thinking and our dualistic culture, even if we don't judge the body as less than the spiritual experience, even if we honor our sexuality in terms of the physicality of the body, it's not that easy for most people to really bring the energetic and the physical experience together. It's quite easy to sit in meditation by yourself or with another person and create energy circuits. That is, if you've healed any past wounds and traumas and let go of any beliefs that say that this is not okay. But you know, if you're showing up in a receptive state, it's for most people having the physical experience and the energetic experience that are fully integrated is very difficult. So that would be the number one thing that I see, is to really move past this idea of separation. And another way to say it is the separation of the one, the divine, the all-encompassing ultimate reality that includes all and everything,
and the individual self that has a personal experience, a human experience. Mm-hmm. And so the full integration of these two, I mean, they actually aren't separate, but we think that they are. I think this is what it looks like. And to really have that sense of divinity and at the same time honor the physical body, the human personality, the temple, which is our expression in this on this planet.
Yes. So in this human expression, I'm wondering, of all your years of connecting with communities and making your offerings for people, what do you see as being helpful? Like, in particular, what programs are you offering people to journey through or experiences?
Oh, thanks for asking that, because there's a few different programs that I have found to be the most effective for people. And there's so many things in the marketplace now that aim to liberate our sexuality. And again, it's the same medicine is not ideal for everyone. But in general, most people who've been in this culture have been sexually wounded or shamed in one way or another. And so the pelvic heart integration work that I'm teaching is a way for people to become more conscious about how we've cut off the flow of life force, how we have taken on the trauma of our parents, our ancestors, and all kinds of trauma, but particularly the trauma, the sexual traumas, the relationship traumas that keep us from being available to connect with another, to feel the full expression of our life force, that is our sexual energy. And so we need to heal first through this kind of some kind of technology. The pelvic heart integration work really allows people to undo the programming, the dysfunctional programming that most of us have gotten as children. And so that's one way or another. People need to wipe the slate clean. They need to heal the past. Once that's happened, I think they're then ready for this initiation into another level of sexuality that is not shaped by or burdened by the past. And so the erotic meditation work that I've been developing with my teaching partner, Lynn Hunstad, combines meditation with physical interaction with another person with a loosely held intention of erotic activation. So putting all those pieces together really puts our sexuality and our physicality in service of our spirituality. But people aren't ready for that when they're still kind of doing damage control from the trauma that they've either personally experienced or that they're carrying from previous generations.
And it sounds like a beautiful, comprehensive program that you're offering. I'm wondering, for those who are not able, I'm guessing these are in-person, week-long retreats, or
there's a variety of offerings, all the way from an introductory evening to audio and video to longer retreats. So there's information accessible on many levels about these, and most of it can be accessed at my website, lovewithoutlimits.com.
Okay, great. And for all of the listeners, do you have any, you know, first step action ways that they can do, you know, make some change in their life? Yes, you know, going to the websites of yourself and the other speakers and getting resource lists, and on a practical level, like, what can they start doing today?
Well, a really good place to start is with, first of all, some kind of embodied meditation practice. And by embodied meditation practice, I mean one that involves the physical body. I personally love my hatha yoga practice, but there's many ways that you can do at home. There's so much available on the internet, free even, to guide people who are not familiar with these practices of connecting the breath, the body, and the attention. For people that are already doing some kind of embodied meditation practice, I would say a next really good step is to start working with the breath. And people sign up for my newsletter on my website. I have an MP3 that people can listen to of the pelvic heart integration breath work that I find especially relevant to sexuality, because it addresses the both the masculine and the feminine patterns of breathing and energy flow. And when the masculine and feminine come together, whether inside your own body or with another body, that's sexuality. And so this is a good way to initiate yourself, is by working with this breath, and you get to see where you have difficulty, and also maybe you get to see how you could yourself move through some blocks, or if not, you know at least what kind of help you need.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's very helpful, Deborah. Thank you. And are there any, you know, really important, essential gems that you would like the listeners to embody from this discussion that we're having today?
The thing that's been up for me lately is to really understand at a deeper level that, first of all, who we really are is unlimited love and energy, and that if we can recognize this and get over the mistaken identity that we're some limited or wounded human being, without disconnecting from that physical body and that human flawed personality, when we can hold both of those together and realize that the physical body actually is the place in which we experience other realities.
Mm-hmm.
Then, and as I said, this can be done either through the things that I offer, the erotic meditation practice, or the pelvic heart integration work, which takes the struggle inside. Because as long as we're trying to fix it outside, we're kind of dependent on what other people do, and this is not something that's under our control. So what I would offer is to do whatever it takes to find out who you really are while staying connected with your physical human self.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you for the emphasis on embodied spirituality and the emphasis on the body being our temple and the portal to our own intelligence and that of the universe, and which is really our truth.
Oh, well said. Yeah. Mm. So I think that's the initiation that everyone really wants. And we have this idea of initiation, which is much more limited than that, which is about, first blood, or which is about giving birth, or which is about circumcision, or, those are all significant, important things, but it's really, we're dealing with something much bigger than these life events.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yes. Well, thank you so much, and I will go into your website and check out the erotic meditation and your other groups. And I just thank you for being a beautiful, wise leader in so many communities, and wish you beautiful new moon blessings today.
Right. Perfect.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening.